The time is ticking and we are edging ever so closer to the start of the new season. A new era is beckoning for some, with fresh players to help them chase their dreams of dominating SA football. Some, like your team for example, are still licking the wounds from last season. Hello and welcome to Sokola Duma Transfer Rep. My name is Nkululeko Nkewu. Stay tuned to hear from Joe Grant, Kurt Bakkerveld and Nathan Polso on all things transfer. As always, enjoy the show. Sokola Duma Radio. All right, we're joined now by Sokola Duma journalist Joe Kren. You can find him on Twitter at YesWeKren to discuss local football transfer speculation. Joe, thank you very much for your time. How's it, man?
Always a pleasure, dude. How you doing?
I'm very, very well, man. Well, it's interesting that Mamelodi Sundowns are seemingly still interested in a player that is injured from Cape Town City. That's one, a player that they've been called off by Cape Town City chairman John Comitis, that don't approach this player on the side, talk to us directly. That's two. So there are two main factors that should be stumbling blocks, but Mamelodi Sundowns are still keen on the player. We also have a Sundown situation in Billet's contract negotiations. And lastly, we'll talk about Kaizer Chiefs' trialist. Let's talk about, firstly, Cape Town City and Mamelodi Sundowns and Obring Goma. What's the situation at the moment there?
Yeah, I mean, the situation is basically still what we've been saying. I mean, the Sundowns are still interested in Obring, and he had a fantastic season. Obviously, won a couple of awards at the PSL Awards as well to reward him for his campaign that he had, and he was a superb player for Cape Town, yeah, obviously one of the best in the league. And yes, he had a bit of a setback with his injury, but Pitso and Sundowns have been looking for a left winger ever since Dolly left, really. I think they see Obring Goma to fill that role. It's just a case of whether Cape Town City have any intention of letting him go or not.
And let's look at the fact that he is injured, one, and he may be off for several months. And would that then assist Sundowns in defending their CAF Champions League? Should they not go for any other winger then?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, all these situations are a little bit difficult because he's going to be out for a while. So even if Sundowns do manage to pull off a transfer for him, no, we're not going to see him in a Sundowns shirt for a long time. Like I say, I personally, I'm not sure that the Cape Town City are going to budge. I think that they will do their utmost to make sure they keep hold of him. But we're not going to see him in a Sundowns shirt, even if the move did go through for a good couple of months yet. So in terms of the Champions League, their next games in September, the tournament's going to be over by November, and I don't think that, like I say, regardless of whether Aubrey signs or not, I don't think he's going to be playing. He's going to be sort of back in full flight by that point anyway.
And there's a situation brewing at Mamelodi Sundowns store with the Billiet seemingly in deadlock, in contract talks being back and forth, not being resolved at the moment. There is a suggestion that the 2.5 million euros release clause by Billiet's team, there's a demand that they need to reduce that or increase the salary. There's interest from Saudi Arabia that we, Sokola Duma, have reported about. Let's talk about the situation and where it stands at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Carmen's situation is a little bit difficult for him because he's been battling with injuries as well. And his contract, he's got a year left now, so come January, he's free to talk about moves anywhere, wherever he wants, without asking the club. And I think that the club are wary of that. Things have also been complicated by the fact that obviously Eze Kasinoyo sadly passed away, and he was the one who was talking to Sundowns. He was Carmen's agent, and that has made things a little bit more complicated. He's now got Sia in, an agent that he's looking after him, who's obviously she's doing her best to try and move things forward. But there does seem to be a bit of a deadlock at the minute, and I think Karma's probably got to a point when he feels that the time is now to move on. He's basically done all he can at Sundowns. There's nothing really left for him to achieve there. So this is probably his last chance to get to Europe, and I think that will be one thing he's got his eye on. So if he's going to sign, then he needs to have a buyout clause of substantially less than 2.5. And if they can't give him that, then he may well just. Wait and see his contract out.
Is it realistic that Sundowns could be persuaded to lower their release clause, or is just a contract standoff game, the demand for it to be lowered?
Well, I mean, it's up to them, really. I mean, it's either lower that or don't sign him again. It's pretty simple. I mean, if they want to get Karma to to sign a new contract, then the buyout clause is one of the things they're going to have to look at. If they don't want to lower that, then they might end up losing him for free, like they did with Bongani Zumbi.
And I was about to say that if you are Sundowns as Joel Kren, do you take the risk of not signing up until January, where we can sign a pre-contract with anyone? Would you allow that situation with such an incredible Zimbabwean international player?
For me, if I can get Kren to stay by giving him a smaller buyout, a European buyout maybe, and make it so he can't be signed by a team in South Africa or maybe even a team in Africa, but if you put a buyout clause in there that's more reasonable, but it's only for European clubs, then for me it's a no-brainer. I think you do what you can to keep a player that ability in your side.
Alright, we do know that Kaizer Chiefs has signed Bongolotu Chaia, teenage Hadebe as well. We also know that they have trialists Darren Lurie, Jonathan Felipe and Arnaldo Gomez, who's a 19-year-old, and they're trying out forward thinking players at the moment. What else do we know about the story? What can you tell us about these trialists?
So, I mean, the three boys, they arrived on Tuesday to Steve to have a look at them. Obviously, Darren was playing in Israel most recently. Arnaldo Gomes is a little bit of an unknown. He went over to the UK when he was very young, and got accepted into an academy there in England, and ended up playing in Portugal for a little while. And now he's come back to South Africa. He's a midfielder, and then obviously Lurie and Jonathan Felipe are both strikers. And we know that obviously the striking aspect of Chiefs has been an issue for them, and they haven't had strong goal scorers in the last few seasons. And that is obviously something that Steve's trying to remedy now. And I think when you look at the three players there, I think Felipe is probably the most likely to sign. We obviously did a story in this week's Apodima saying that he's agreed terms in principle, so that is probably going to happen if all goes well in the next few days. So the other two will have to wait and see. I mean, I'm sure Steve's going to be taking a close look at them. They'll probably play a couple of in-house friendlies where he can assess their ability, and in the next probably week or so we'll find out more about whether they've done enough.
And before we let you go, Joel Kren, any couple of deals top of your head that you know that have been completed? We know about Innocent Mkabela to Platinum Stars. Any more? I'm sure there's quite a few.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you know completely this move from Kaizer Chiefs. We had the Ritzia Klapo has joined SuperSport from Vitz. And there's another one, Prince Dube, also joined SuperSport this week. But I think there's going to be a fair few transfers to come. I don't think we've seen the last of the checkbooks yet.
That's Joel Kren, Sokola Duma, journalist. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Always a pleasure, man. I'll speak to you again soon.
There's been a shift in power in South African football recently. We've seen Cape Town City doing really well in the league. We've seen Bidvest Wits clinching the title last season. And there's also been a power shift not only in the log but in the transfer market as well. We've seen the likes of Teko Modise, Ayanda Patosi opting for the non-traditional big teams. We've also seen Dalen Klaassen, Steven Pienaar opting to sign for the non-traditional teams. It's very interesting to see whether or not they will be successful. Someone that would definitely or generally have an idea of whether or not they will be successful based on his experiences in the PSL is a man that I'm going to be chatting to now. He's an Ajax Cape Town all-time leading goal scorer. He's a former Bafana Bafana player. Nathan Paulson, thank you very much for joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm good and you, my man.
I'm good. Thank you very much, man. I'm excited to speak to a former Bafana Bafana player and an Ajax all-time goal scorer. Let's talk about the current transfer market. We've seen great signings for teams. Let's talk about Cape Town City signing Ayanda Patosi from overseas. That was a major coup. Everybody was talking about that. And then as we were just talking about that, bam, Teko Modise signs as well. What does that mean for Cape Town City first? And what does that mean for the future of Cape Town City?
Well, first of all, I think signing those two players was, as you said, a major coup. Ayanda has never played in the PSL, you know, but he's come from a better structured league, you know, being in Belgium for so many years, you know. So how he adapts and adjusts to this league will be interesting. But he's a quality player. Well, as for Teko, you know, look, I think to be quite frank, that was a master stroke from John. You know, I mean, I think from a marketing side. That I think that's his first half of the season, you know, in terms of how he will advertise the team and market the team for fans to come and watch him play. Look, I mean, already I'm a former Ajax player and a player, and already I want to go to every single game. Why? Because they have a coach that was a great player, you know. And then as well, now they've signed a tackle, you know. So I think everyone is excited to see how this almost a new look, yet old look, Cape Town, what's it say, City team, you know, phase in this new cam campaign, because they obviously come from a high.
It's very interesting that you bring about the marketing dimension to it, though. I'd love to delve into that, but because of time, we won't go deep into that. One thing that I'd like to pick your brain on, though, is the fact that a player coming from overseas to the PSL, the adjustment and how long will that take. I ask that because I know you've been in Sweden and you came back to South Africa as well, so you would have first-hand experience of going overseas to Europe and coming back to South Africa. How would adjusting for Ayanda Patosi be in a minute or so? Just quickly, how would Ayanda Patosi adjusting to the PSL? How would he find that?
I think from a intensity side, he will adjust fairly easy because you know, my experience of playing abroad, you know, there's a higher intensity. They play a lot more tactically, you know. So yeah, I think it's how we adjust to playing 3 o'clock away from home, you know, playing against Apollo Kwani away, you know. Then we'll also see, you know, how we can handle this league. But overall, you know, I think he will and he should, you know, be a top player here, because it gives you that edge if you've played in a league that has a high intensity. And I found that when I came back to South Africa in 2010, you know, I could adjust very easily, you know. In fact, I saw things a bit quicker, you know. So yeah.
Right. And another interesting one is Bidvest Wits. I mean, they won the league. They won the MTN 8. Well, it's clear, man, that there's a shift in South African football. There's a power shift. Now, they've won on the field. It looks like they're also winning in the transfer market. They've signed our former crown jewel, Steven Pienaar, who was adored by many South African fans. Skilo, he was a South African captain at some point before he retired. And they've also signed Daylon Klaassen, who was by no means an old player. He's still in his prime, 27, 28, and he signs for Bidvest Wits. Let's talk about them and what does that mean about them. Would they defend the title with these guys?
I think Hanti is a very very shrewd coach, you know. He knows who he wants to buy. He knows how to keep his squad fresh, you know. And he's bought two top players, you know. Yes, they've been away from this league for a while now, but I think in terms of a structure, in terms of how teams are improving the PSL, it's closer to how it was perhaps some 4 years ago, 5 years ago, if you compare the PSL to other leagues, you know. We were still away off, but you know, they were should adjust quite easily, you know.
Let's talk about what they can achieve with Wits. Let's talk about the thing is, if you look at what they've done signing these major players, and you think about the impact then the signings would make, does Nathan Poster think, damn, these guys may actually lead to Wits defending their title? What does it essentially mean signing these players for Bidvest Wits?
Yeah, yes, I think it's a clear indication from Wits that they intend to retain, you know, and also not retain, but also compete for everything else, you know. And that's why they have added two top top players, you know.
Let's look at Soweto Giant now. Orlando Pirates, they had a disaster in their goalkeeping department and they're still on the lookout for a defender. I'm going to pick your brain about a defender though, before we conclude our conversation. Let's look at the fact that they've just signed Wayne Sandilands and they've also signed Thamsanqa Sangweni from Chippa United. Sandilands is interesting because they have, with him added, they would then have five goalkeepers and he's 30 years old. They had Brighton Mhlongo, Jackson Mabogwane, they have Emmanuel Daniel. So it's a lot of goalkeepers there. So what does that mean for Sandilands? One, does it mean that he's going to walk into the team and be the number one goalkeeper? Thamsanqa Sangweni, how big of a signing do you think he is? Will he provide relief to Upamanyisa in the midfield? Does it provide competition for Issa Sarr, for example? What does everything mean with the signings that they've signed so far?
I think the fact that they've signed Wayne, you know, look, he's a good player, you know, and I don't think as a keeper age is an issue, you know. I think for a team like Orlando Pirates, you know, you need an experienced keeper, you know. So perhaps if they had signed a youngster, it would have been a bit of a problem. I also think Orlando Pirates' problem perhaps has not been the keeper, to be quite frank, you know. From a tactical point of view, they seem to have been a bit all over the place, you know. I mean, having played against them, they was not a very highly organized team, and I think that has caught up with them in terms of on the field, because if you look at SuperSport exposed that throughout the entire year.
Yeah, you know? In the NetBank Cup and also in the league.
And so perhaps the attention on the keeper is a bit unfair, you know, and you have to look them further than that. How are they organized? I mean, they have two wing backs that go at them well, and you can't do that when you're playing against a clever team. You know, but and irrespective of whether you Orlando or the Pirates or Chiefs or whoever you are, you have to be a lot more aware of that. But then having signed
Thamsanqa Sangweni from Chippa United.
Yeah, San Gweni. I know him from Ajax days. He played with us one. He's a good player. He can play as that old school holding mid, but he has that Alonso like quality. He can see a pass.
And let's look a little bit on Kaizer Chiefs. We don't want to dwell too much on them because they said that they haven't done much of the dealing. They've not completed their deals so far in the transfer window. We know that there's been an individual that scored a great hat-trick against Chippa United, Bongolotu Jaiya. It was one of the fastest hat-tricks in the PSL, and he's just signed for Kaizer Chiefs. There's been a question that why would a Cape Town City let if he was as good, why would Cape Town City let him go? Maybe he's not that good. Just quickly on that, what do you think of Jaiya's signing for Kaizer Chiefs?
I was at first I'm quite surprised when he was let him go, because I watched a few of the games, and every time he had played, he done them well, you know. But perhaps he was not as consistent as they had hoped. Look, I think for Chiefs, you know, he's going to have to step up a lot, you know, because Chiefs, as I've said in the past, they are a huge brand.
Spotlight is on you.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a everyday thing now, you know. It's not a, you know, when you in the mood to be a Chiefs player, you can just show up and have a top game. You have to put your best foot forward every single game, because every other team in the PSL, whenever they play against you, every single week, they hoping to prove to everyone that, you know, you're not as good as what you think you are.
You're not allowed an off day. Now we've just spoken about the confirmed deals. We know Jaiya to Chiefs, we know Modise to City, we know all of these guys have gone to their destinations. They are now signed by these teams. But we also know that there are still more to come. Orlando Pirates is in the lookout for a central defender. They look like they are in competition with Mamelodi Sundowns about a former player that you played with. We also know that he's being disciplined by the team for not pitching up in training. We know that he's agitating for a move away, either in a big team or overseas. Quick word about Rivaldo's Coetzee conundrum. What's happening there? What do you think is going to be the conclusion of this saga?
No, look, I think with regards to Rivaldo and the IXM saga, you know, it's quite sad. But again, I don't think that we must be quick to judge him or judge IX, because there's two sides to every story. And in fact, they always say there's three sides, you know. So that third side we must still see. But I think he has to move on. I mean,
it's time.
It's time. I mean, if you have a player that is clearly intent on a move away, then awesome. You as a CEO or as a head coach or as a GM, you have to understand that irrespective of what you want, that player, his heart and his mind will not be there. And at the end of the day, you invest in him as a player. So if his mind and his heart is not for you and for your team at this point, because look,
he's not going to perform.
He's not going to perform.
He's not going to give you what you're paying for.
You know, exactly. So I think it's best. And I think for him as a player as well.
Yeah. I mean, he knows best. He played with Rivaldo Coetzee. He's a former Ajax Cape Town. Ajax Cape Town's all-time goal scorer. Former Bafana Bafana player. His name is Nathan Paulson. Nathan, thank you very much for your time, sir.
It's a pleasure, my man. And I will come back anytime you want.
To talk international transfers, international news stories, there's been crazy amounts being mentioned next to the names of Neymar, Kylian Mbappe, Philippe Coutinho. To get more clarity about that, we are joined now by Kurt Buckerfield. Kurt is a Sokola Duma international journalist. Kurt, thank you very much for your time. How are you, my man?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much, man. It's crazy to be someone like you because, I mean, you have to work with numbers that are in pounds and in euros, and you have to convert them into rands. And when they go into rands, they look crazy. They are billions of rands. A little bit, this market, what have you noticed about it and the money's being paid for players before we go into the players?
Well, we can obviously see that values are increasing. Well, not necessarily values, but what clubs are putting, the price tags clubs are putting on their players. It's shot through the roof. It looks crazy. It looks all over the show.
Would the word overinflated come into play here? How would you describe it like that, or would it be is it a fair reflection of the talent at play?
No, I think it's overinflated. Like you said, I don't think it's a fair reflection. I think some players are worth 100 million. I think Neymar, especially. I mean, we saw Pogba last season going for that around that amount. So I think Neymar going for that is fair. Absolutely, even 120 million. I wouldn't be surprised, or I wouldn't have been shocked at that. But no, the price tags for some 18-year-olds and 20-year-olds over 100 million, it's bizarre.
Let's go into that 18-year-old that you spoke about. He plays for Monaco. He's been scouted by Real Madrid for a very long time. Zinedine Zidane is a known lover of the player. He's a known admirer of the player's talent. And we know for a fact that they want to sign him. But there's a twist to the story. You know more about the story. Just give us a background of what is happening at the moment. He is an AS Monaco player as we're speaking.
Yeah, so Kylian Mbappe has been linked with Real since last season, and it's been said that Zidane's been watching him for quite a while. So the thing is, well, yesterday it was reported that he had agreed terms with Real Madrid. It was then reported a couple of hours later by Sky Sports that Monaco had informed them that no deal had been agreed. And now there's talk that Man City are also after him. And the reason for Real Madrid apparently agreeing a 160 million euro or pound price for him is because City are after him. And they really want him, and they've put up a good challenge apparently. So yeah, I would be surprised if he went to City, to be honest, because I see his future at Real Madrid, and I see him becoming a superstar.
Price tag justified? No, yes.
No, I mean, it was 160, so I think that's crazy.
And to put it in context, I mean, 160 million euros or pounds would smash the world's record transfer fee for Paul Pogba by over 50 million pounds or euros.
Exactly. So yeah, I think it's bizarre, but it's something that I guess we're gonna have to become used to, and until maybe a cap is put on spending by FIFA or yeah.
Let's talk about Philippe Coutinho. We know that he's a Liverpool player. He's a Brazilian. He's a great player. He's a sensational player for Liverpool. And we know that Barcelona are admirers of the talent that is Philippe Coutinho. I certainly know as much as that, but you would know the numbers and you would know the status of that pursuit by Barcelona of Coutinho.
Well, it's a bit of a confusing one right now, purely because Coutinho was wanted by Barcelona last season, and it was said that Neymar really wanted him to come there. Neymar had said it in the press, I would love Coutinho to join me at Barcelona. So now there's talk that Coutinho could replace Neymar at Barcelona, which is, like I say, confusing because I can't see Coutinho going to Barcelona without Neymar being there. They're really good friends. They played in Brazil's youth teams together. They practically grew up together. So it's a strange one. But yeah, Barcelona want Coutinho. I think he would be a great fit for the team. I think he would be a natural replacement for Iniesta. Iniesta's obviously 33 now, so he's getting on a bit. Still a great player, of course, but I think a natural successor would be Coutinho. I don't think that they would be able to get Coutinho without selling another player if the intention is then to keep Neymar. I think that would there's been talk that even Rakitic could go the other way in a swap deal.
Let's have a look at Liverpool and what they stand to lose here, and whether or not they would allow the situation to occur where their number 10, their main man, would go to Spain. Let's look at that. Let's look at who they've been linked with, and perhaps it may assist us in knowing whether or not this is going to be possible.
Well, look, Coutinho is a great player, and we love seeing him in the Premier League. He's a Brazil international. But I think that he wouldn't be as much of a loss for Liverpool as people think, to be honest. They've got Firmino, they've got Sadio Mane, they've got Mohamed Salah. They've got good attacking options. I think that if they were to get Rakitic, I think it would be a great deal, to be honest. I think a midfielder, another centre mid, would be great in that team. So I think it would make sense. Obviously, Liverpool fans don't want to see him go because he really is like a golden boy at the club. The fans love him. They love watching him play. But I think that when Barcelona come knocking, you go. And apparently he's asked Klopp if he can join them. So
when Barcelona comes knocking, you go. Well, what do you do when PSG comes knocking? And that's the story that we're going to be talking about now. Neymar, well, we know that Paris Saint-Germain, French club, has come knocking for Neymar's signature. They are willing to break the transfer record for him. I may be false, of course, because you're the journalist. You will tell us what's the current status of that transfer, whether or not it's off, whether or not it's on. I'm giving you the platform now to talk about that transfer.
It's still a bit of a tug of war, to be honest. PSG really want him. And Neymar, well, it's been said that Neymar and his father have wanted to leave Barcelona actually since last year. Even last year they met with Manchester City and Manchester United to try and figure out how they could get Neymar out of Barcelona without breaking FIFA fair play rules. So the latest is that apparently Neymar's made his decision and he'll announce it within the next week. PSG apparently want him to come out and say, I'm joining your club. And they want him to do it as soon as possible. Barcelona players are trying to convince him to stay. Mascherano came out recently and said that the players, Iniesta, Messi, Pique, Suarez, they're all trying to convince Neymar to remain in Spain.
It's been like a circus, though, with the amount of people that the players actually, it's like they're being told what to say. Go out there to the press conference and say that Neymar is not going anywhere. It's not something that you see all the time in football. But your opinion, before we let you go and before you tell us about the confirmed deals, your opinion about this, how do you foresee this panning out in terms of being objective, in terms of you looking at this and in relation to things that have happened before? When you look at the dynamics at play here, how do you think this is gonna happen?
Look, to be honest, it's really difficult for me because I would love a footballing decision to prevail at the end of the day. I would love to see Neymar stay because like players, Pique came out recently and said Neymar going to the French league would be a step down for him. And I think a 25-year-old who's arguably in his prime or just hitting his prime now, I think it would be a tough pull to swallow, seeing such a great talent go to France. I would love him to stay at Barcelona. I think that he can become the star of that team. But it would be interesting. And Barcelona are obviously telling him, look, please stay with us and we'll make you that star. They're not going to be telling him stay, but also you're still going to have this role where you'll play behind others, you know what I mean? Just a featuring role. He wants a starring role, and I think that I think he can get that at Barcelona. The money he's been offered at PSG is insane, which is obviously difficult to turn down. So that's understandable too. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
And that's pretty much speculation. That's Neymar and Kylian Mbappe and Philippe Coutinho. But Dan Dills, now, before we let you go, Kurt?
Benjamin Mendy from Monaco to Manchester City. It's a great signing. Yeah. Back. Then we have Javier Hernandez Chicharito from Bayer
Welcome
Leverkusen.
Welcome back to the Premier League, yeah. Chicharito.
To West Ham United. West Ham have also signed Marko Arnautovic from Stoke, which I think is a great buy. And lastly, Bernardeschi has gone from Fiorentina to Juventus.
All right, you can find him on Twitter at Kurt Laduma. Kurt, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Cool, thank you.
Soccer Laduma Radio.
Thank you so much for listening. There's more transfer news on the Soccer Laduma website, especially on the Transfer Center Hub. Catch us again next week for more player movements and speculation.
Soccer Laduma Radio. Soccer Laduma Radio.